10 chapters later in Exodus 13. So watch this, verse 17. It says this, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. They were the enemies at the time. Although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Isn't that true that sometimes when we see any kind of obstacle, we want to run backwards? We want to retreat. And God understands that human dynamic. And so he said, I'm not going to lead them that way yet. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. So this is crazy. They're equipped for battle, but God leads them away from battle. Aren't there times in your life you're like, yeah, God, I'm ready. Right? You ever told God you're ready? And he looks at you and goes, no, you ain't. They were equipped for battle. Moses then took the bones of Joseph with him. And so Joseph, some of you remember another movie, Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. And Joseph kind of paved the way for the Jewish people to be in Egypt. So Joseph died, and for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear that God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. And then they moved from the Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord, watch this, and the Lord went before them. Everybody say before them. This is fascinating. So I always love it when people are like, I don't like it when there's lights in the church and smoke in the church. It's in the Bible. Watch this. And the Lord went from them, watch this, by day in a pillar of haze, a pillar of cloud, to lead them along the way. And at night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. So everywhere that thing moved, they followed. Everywhere that thing moved, they followed, right? So God was basically quoting Ludacris. He was like, when I move, you move. Just like that. Okay? Just trying to make sure you're awake today. Dayquil's kicking in. Here we go. But they were following the presence of God. Last week we talked about how the presence of God is here. It's coming, but it's also going. So today I want to talk about following the presence of God in your life. Amen? So loud and proud say, I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm ready.
Draw me closer,
make me better, in Jesus' name, amen. Awesome, you may be seated. Take a sip on me. Ashley's looking at me, she just coached me. She said, don't speak from here, I can't help it. It's how I talk. I need to learn to preach from here, but we're gonna try. I'm gonna talk. Hey, who's traveling this Thanksgiving? None of y'all are happy about it. That was the most depressing hand raise I've ever seen in church.
Make sure you got everything.
Sad. So this is travel time. And in fact, I watch the news every morning. And it says that this year is going to break some records. It's going to be the most traveled season in Thanksgiving history. This Thanksgiving. So I don't know whether you're driving or flying. Train. Who's taking train? Go ahead, girl. You take the train. That's classy. Train's classy. We're all traveling. And I travel a lot. Some of you heard. I've been, you know, all around this past year and been around the world in previous ministry opportunities. And can I confess a sin of mine? I'm a control freak when it comes to traveling. My kids, Chase, Jill, they'll testify. When I am travel dad, it's a wrap. Travel dad, it's a wrap. And it's weird because I'm not a type A person, right? She's laughing. I'm not a type A person. But when I'm travel dad, I have my fanny pack, no shame. No shame. In that fanny pack, it's everyone's passports, everyone's vaccination cards. Shoot, I got printed tickets because I don't trust the QR code version of the tickets. I'm just like, I don't know what it is about traveling. I've led youth groups all around the world, and all of a sudden, I don't know what it is, the administration gift just comes out of nowhere, and I run things. I am travel dad. This is what I look like. If y'all play the video real quick. This is what I look like. Look.
Mike, you sure you got everything?
Chase said, "You know, I don't know if you heard it on the video." Chase said, "Dad, you good? No, let's go. Why are you walking so fast? Because we got somewhere to go." I'm just psychotic with it, man. I have to be at the gate at least an hour ahead of time. At least an hour ahead of time. I'm just that psychotic when it comes to traveling. I always have to be the leader. And because I have this propensity, like, I have to intentionally in my life, because I always find myself in leadership, I have to intentionally put myself under the leadership of someone else so that I could work out my humility. I just do. So some of you heard it, I serve in Peak. I am not the boss of Peak. There's a girl named Kim. She's the boss of Peak. I'm not the boss of Fresh Start. There's a guy named Bill. He's the boss of that organization. I intentionally submit myself under them so that I can make sure that I'm always exercising humility. Always. Because here's the important feature. I want to talk to all the leaders in your room. Everybody write this down. The level of your leadership is directly related to the level of your followership. The level of your leadership is directly related to the level of your followership. Some of you want to be promoted to leader before being a follower, and God doesn't do it that way. He will always promote you from first being a follower. So if you promote yourself to a leader and have not graduated from following, you're not a leader, you're a liar. Because the level of your leadership is directly related to the level of your followership. You can't give orders until you learn how to take orders. Come on. And I'm here to tell you that you're the best version of your life is when you find yourself following the leadership of the presence of God. When you find yourself, let me put it this way. I have learned to allow the presence of God to mentor me. Because when you follow the presence of God, he'll take you to places, number one, that you never thought you will ever go. Secondly, or he will be the one to sustain you to take you to the places that you have seen yourself going. He will give you bravery. He will give you courage. He will give you comfort in very uncomfortable situations. Y'all slacking, you're slacking. And so we have to understand that, like, it doesn't matter. Playing the church thing doesn't matter if we're not following the presence of God. And I've been there, and we've been there as a church. Can I be honest with you? Been there as a church where, like, we just go through the routine, right? Worship, announcements, offering, message, deuces, football. Right? Not today. Right? So that's the routine. But I think the miracle happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to call an audible. And we follow him. And sometimes he'll lead us through a routine, and sometimes he'll completely derail our plans and take us somewhere that we need to be. Because it doesn't matter if we have raised hands if our feet don't follow. And I want to challenge us today, church. Again, I'm done playing church. Jesus does not want to be an addition to your life. He wants to be the addiction of your life. And for us to be addicted and obsessed with following the presence of God, for us to wake up every single morning and go, okay, God, what are you doing today? If you're bored today in your spiritual walk, it's because we're not asking that question, right? If you're bored today in your marriage, it's because you're not asking, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in my marriage today? What do you want to do in my family today? If you're at school, if you're at college, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to impact or influence someone today? It becomes adventurous when you follow the presence of God. I'm not gonna have no voice tomorrow. But following the presence of God will cost you something. But not following the presence of God will cost you everything. I've made the biggest mistakes in my life when I ignored the leading of God. And my hope and prayer is that you don't do the same, that we learn to follow the presence of God. So in the Old Testament, the presence of God was symbolized in many different ways. So God's presence in the Old Testament, first, like we learned last week, he was a part of the burning bush in Exodus 3. God manifested his presence to Moses in the form of a burning bush, a bush that was not consumed by the fire, and spoke to Moses through that bush. So we see them there. We see them here in Exodus 13 with the pillar of cloud and a fire. So during the Israelites' journey through the wilderness, God led them, I love this, with a pillar of cloud during the day, through the desert. I've done a wedding before in New Mexico in the middle of the desert. Pictures were beautiful, but you could fry an egg on my head. What I would have given to have a pillar of cloud lead me to the altar to give me some shade. And then I've also been to Ecuador, and it's hot during the day, but because it's on the equator at night, the temperature just drops. I would love to have a pillar of fire leading me throughout the night. How amazing the presence of God is. The presence of God provides in all scenarios. So we see the presence of God in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Then we see the presence of God in the tabernacle, this tent, that God's glory filled this tent. And it was portable. It was this portable sanctuary that they were instructed to build and move as the Israelites moved through the wilderness. And inside that tent was something called the Ark of the Covenant, which also represented the presence of God. You can read that in Exodus 25. And the Ark served as a symbol of God's presence, and it was carried by the priest everywhere they went. And it played a central role in many of the ceremonies and rituals that they had. Everything was based on the presence of God. Then, I love this part, in 1 Kings 8, you can read that this cloud filled up Solomon's temple, and that represented the presence of God. When he dedicated the temple to God, the glory of the Lord filled the house. My prayer is from here on out, every Sunday, that the glory of the Lord fills his house. That's why when the Bible says that we need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving already in our hearts, right? You're gonna have Thanksgiving in your stomach on Thursday, but y'all need to come with Thanksgiving in your hearts next Sunday, right? So that we can see his presence fill this place up. And then the most beautiful part that actually sets up Jesus is there was this place called the Holy of Holies. You can read that in Leviticus. This place called the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was in the tabernacle. And it's fascinating how only the priests can enter into the Holy of Holies. And there's a legend that has been said that they would actually tie a bell to the ankle of the priest, that when he went into the Holy of Holies, if that bell stopped ringing, that means homeboy's dead because he had some sin in his life. So that had to pull my man out when he got to the Holy of Holies. And so back then in the Old Testament, you had to be pure, you had to be sinless to be in the presence of God. But because of Jesus, and you're excited about Thanksgiving, I'm excited about Christmas. Christmas, we celebrate Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so when Jesus came and he died, the Bible says that curtain that separated us from the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. So that even if I have sin in my life, I could boldly enter into the presence of God and be accepted by the Father just as I am. But I love this imagery that we get from the Old Testament, that they had to follow these things because they all represented the presence of God. Throughout my life, I followed the presence of God, and I think it's something scriptural. You can read it in Deuteronomy 31:8. It says this, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Some of y'all need to hear that today. He's before you and he's with you. Do not be afraid. He will not forsake you. He's right where you need him to be. Joshua 3. So Joshua, he was the successor to Moses. And so he tells Joshua, he goes, give orders to the people that when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. Some of you want to go to some uncharted territory in your life, and I'm here to tell you that you need to follow the presence of God there. You need to follow the presence of God there. The moments where you feel unequipped, uneducated, you need to follow the presence of God there. I talk to people who grew up without a father, and now they're having their own kids. And one of the scariest moments in some of these men's lives is that now I have to give this child something that I've never experienced. You need the presence of God. And in the New Testament, it makes it clear. Remember, in the Old Testament, he had a temple for his people, but now in the New Testament, his people are his temple. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling and living inside of us right now, right? So we follow what's inside of us right now. Church is not a building. Church is not a pew. Church is not a worship team. Church is not a preacher. Church is you. And so not only does he want to fill up this house, but he wants to fill up your hearts. And in the New Testament, he says this in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and here's the big one, and they follow me. And they follow me. We say amen all the time in church, but we don't recognize what that means. It means so be it. You're giving it license. You're giving it permission to impact and change your behaviors so that you could follow efficiently. So in my life, I've made mistakes by not following the presence of God. And I've made some great moves by following the presence of God. And so later on in the series, I'm going to talk about exactly what the presence of God kind of feels like, what we understand it. Sometimes we understand, and I said this last week, it's more than a feeling, it's our reality. You can experience the presence of God even when you're mad. You can experience the presence of God when you're sad, when you're depressed, when you're excited. It's more than a feeling. It should be the believer's reality. And so I've learned a lot of things from following the presence of God, and I just want to talk to you today about some things I've learned. Who's ready for this journey with me? All right? I need you today. Come on. Come on, Harry. Drink it up. Get some people hype. Come on, Hunter. I said, come on, Hunter. All right. Here's the first thing I've learned from following the presence of God. His presence knows me that more than I know myself. His presence knows me more than I know myself. I'm pretty good at me. I think I'm pretty good at me. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I just know me. But I've come to the realization that even in my best days where I think I know myself, the presence of God knows me more. So here we read, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds, that when they see war and return to Egypt. He knew this, and if you follow the story, if you read the story, every time these jokers hit some type of obstacle, they go, oh, woe is us. We should just go back to slavery. Shut up. And I'm reading it, I'm getting frustrated, but I don't recognize. Sometimes I do the exact same thing, right? There are days, all right, I'm gonna be honest. There are days I look at all the problems in buildings and construction, and I just miss the movie theater. My wife just gave him, I do something, I miss the movie. Do you remember the seats? Glory to God. Like you just reclining, I remember the seats. Remember that there was no echo, I didn't sound like I was in a cave in the movie theater. It was like surround sound. We had, in the beginning of our church, we had the best manager because he didn't want to deal with figuring out who had tickets and who didn't have tickets. So we would tell everyone in our church, hey, if you want to go to a movie, you could just walk into a movie and enjoy the movie for free 99. Isn't that amazing? What a church outreach opportunity we had. And there's some days I miss it. I'm like, oh, there's a leak. Of course there is. The HVAC unit wasn't working in the foyer this week. Of course it doesn't. And some days when an obstacle comes, I go, man, it was better back then. No, it wasn't. It robs you of the gratitude of what you have. And we always want to run backwards, right? It was better, you know. I'm going to say it. It was better when I was single. Right? But you remember how you were praying for that spouse the whole entire time you were single and complaining how lonely you are, right? I love how the presence of God just knows us better than we know ourselves. And here's what the presence of God does. It always takes us from glory to glory. It does. God will always lead you to better, even when it doesn't feel that way. Better for who? Better for you. It might not be what you wanted. It might not be what you dreamed of, but it's still better for you. And in our immaturity, we just always want the sweet stuff. But thank God that the presence of God knows you better than you know yourself. And I had to learn that the hard way. So when I stopped myself, God, why are we... Why? You know, with the construction project in Sewell. I promise these people, I'm grinding, I'm hustling, I'm trying to do everything I possibly can, and this keeps happening, and that keeps happening. Why, God, why? And he goes, hey, I know fervent more than you know fervent. I know what fervent needs. So slow your roll. It's going to happen when it happens. Just continue to follow my presence. That's what I've learned from following the presence of God. Second thing that I learned from following the presence of God is that his presence provides comfort and sometimes inconvenience. It does. We talk about that there is peace in the presence of God. Hallelujah, praise God. Yes, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, you are our comforter. But I don't know, maybe I'm reading it wrong. It says this, but God led the people around the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Contextualize this for a second. Equipped for battle. That means they had swords, shields, breastplates, everything they needed for battle. For what? Inconveniently, they're going away from the battle. And not only that, in fact, scholars say that it actually could have taken the Israelites weeks to get to the promised land. But instead, it took them 40 years. Now, some of that was their fault. But some of that, as we see right here, the Bible says God led the people around the way. Why? Because he knew them better than they knew themselves. But guess what, folks? It was inconvenient. It was inconvenient. And sometimes God is not interested in providing convenience when he knows that we grow when things are inconvenient. So yes, he does offer comfort, but at times, somebody's like, is this God? Is this really God? I feel like it's inconvenient. He's moving me away from all of my comforts. It can't be God. Sometimes he provides inconvenience. Why? So that you can grow. Because again, your comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing grows there. Nothing grows there. And when you talk about 40 years, the word 40, some people are like, did it really take them 40 years? 40 years, it could have been 40 years. God could have done that, but the number 40 is constantly used in the Bible to signify a period of testing and development. That's right, when Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and here the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, it was testing and development. Come on, somebody. I want the abs without the diet. Right? Come on. I want the clear skin without the late night cleaning routines. You know what I'm talking about? I want the good stuff without all the work. But you can't. And this is the thing that I think all of us, when you're following the presence of God, need to understand that as much as you want the promises of God, so that measure of the desire, you want the promises of God. Come on. Make some noise if you want the promises of God, right? You want life and life more abundantly. You want to be successful so you could give him more glory. You want these things. Fine. And God wants to give you some of those things. In fact, I believe that God wants every person in this room to be great. He never once corrected the desire for greatness. Never did. He said, there's a way to do it, and you must be the servant of all. But he never once corrected greatness. So we want the promises of God, but equally, the whatever desire I have for the promises of God, I have to equally desire the process of God. Equally desire. You want those abs? You better love those sit-ups. You want those abs? You better skip on that pumpkin pie on Thursday. Just chill with the turkey. Go keto. Do whatever you need to do. If you want the promises of God, hey, you also need to desire the process of God. Come on. Some of you, your dream and your prayer is, God, I want a healthy marriage. I want to talk to some single people here. I want a healthy marriage. And you want to speed that up. The level of your leadership is directly related to the level of your fellowship. If you aren't whole single, you're not going to be whole married. It's great that you want the promises of God, but you have to also desire the process of God. Number three, I'm going to need some help with this one. His presence sometimes leads us through a transition of loneliness. His presence sometimes leads us through a transition of loneliness. The Bible said that they went on the edge of the wilderness. That means nothing's there. It was just them. So I'm gonna need some help here. Let me get some volunteers. I need a crowd. You get a crowd. Come on, Hunter. Hunter. There you go, there. Need about two more. Maybe three more. Come on, Efren. Come up on stage. Come up on stage. Give it up for them. Come on. Are you coming up, Sue? Yeah, there you go. Come on. Look at this eclectic crew right here. All right. So let's hang out right here. This is my crowd. This is my peeps. What up, dog? Yeah. Oh, give me some. Yeah. Where's Sue? There she is, all right. So this is what I wish some people would have taught me early on in my leadership or even my development in discipleship, because I had my old life, I had my friends, right? Come on, Ephraim, be friends. And we would do things, right? We would cut school. You look like you cut school. No, I'm kidding. We would get into trouble. Yeah. Sold drugs, did some things, yeah. Right? Was hang out. And then all of a sudden, God starts tugging on my heart, right? Can't hang out with this crew anymore. All they do is gossip, right? Have you heard about Diddy? Ain't that crazy? And the presence of God starts leading me away from this group. There's a phase. And nobody talks about, I wish somebody did. There's a phase that as the presence of God leads you away from your old group, there's a phase right in between here where it's lonely, right? Maybe you transition to a new church or transition to a new job or a new school, and you really felt like the Lord was leading you. People say it all the time. I felt like the Lord was leading me here. We don't understand. It's fun here. But there's this phase as that as I'm walking towards whatever God has for me, because I'm being obedient to the presence of God. This phase right here is so lonely. So lonely. Nobody talks about it. Nobody leans into it. And it's painful. This loneliness is painful. Am I talking to anybody today? If you think I'm talking about you, I am. It's lonely right here, and it's hard. And what it makes you want to do, it makes you do this. It makes you go, oh, maybe I could just figure it out here, God. But he's leading you over here. And it's this period of loneliness, and loneliness is painful. And this is what I found out in my life, that when you avoid pain in your life, you're not being like Jesus. When you avoid pain in your life, you're not being like Jesus. What I have found, that if and only if God is leading me to uncomfortable, inconvenient places, and it causes pain, okay? I'm not talking about the pain that when you're just following your own fleshly desires. That's a whole other sermon. But I'm talking about you really believe that God's leading you somewhere. There's this phase up in here that it feels really lonely. This walk is really lonely, and it's painful. And what you have to learn to do is have to learn to leverage that pain to increase your intimacy with the Father. Because we're knuckleheads and we need pain. Ben Franklin said it best. He goes, those things that hurt instruct. So this pain, you could avoid the pain and just come back to your comforts. Or you could just brace this and just say, okay, God, I need you now more than ever. So as that pain increases, so does my intimacy increases. And when your intimacy with the Father increases, it intensifies your identity in him. It intensifies your identity in him. In these moments, I'm asking them, define me, tell me who I am. And you got nothing. Because honestly, all of our emotions are flaky. So one day, Ephraim, you like me, and the next day you don't. So, but as I'm walking here and the pain increases, my level of desire and desperation for God, my intimacy increases with him. Therefore, my identity intensifies with him. And I learn who I am here. And then here's the part that if you continue just following the presence of God, if you continue just following the presence of God, this is what might happen. So now that you're bearing the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the presence of God, eventually, maybe not all of them, but one of them, it's gonna say, I want that, right? Which one is the holiest person here? Not you, you stay there. Somebody else, you know better. You know what you did last night. No, I'm kidding, right? One of them will come, one of them will follow, and then all of a sudden, I don't feel alone anymore, because now we're pursuing the presence of God together. And maybe it's not one, now maybe it is Hunter. Hunter's gonna turn his life over to Jesus right now, right? Come on. Right? And that's how you win it. But you can't win it by just staying here when the presence of God is leading you over there. Give these guys a hand. Thank you guys so much. Get off my stage before I cough on you. So his presence will sometimes lead you through a transition of loneliness. And it hurts. But if you keep on following, he's going to lead you to a beautiful community of people who desire the same things you desire, and that's the presence of God. Last thing that I believe I've learned in my life about the presence of God is that his presence is not a means to an end, it's our home. As much as I'm talking about following the presence of God, I don't want to use his presence. Real talk, I even, you know, as a recovering Pentecostal, like I used to use his presence, you know? I knew exactly what to do, you know? Keyboard, you play that minor chord. I'm gonna say this sad story. It's gonna involve somebody dying, but it's gonna have some redemptive story. And I'm gonna have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes, and I'm gonna pray for people. The altar call is gonna be packed. They're gonna have the goosebumps. They're gonna feel like they had a one-night stand with Jesus, but nothing changed. Is that too real? That's exactly how I did it. And for years, some people, I don't know if you remember the beginning of Fervent Church, I never did an altar call because I was still recovering from that. I did not want to manipulate the crowd in any form or way. I wanted to have an actual, true, and I don't want you to encounter my message. I want you to encounter his presence. So that doesn't mean you tone yourself down. It just means that I need to make sure that we remain authentic when it comes to his presence. So as much as I'm telling you to follow his presence, we don't use his presence. It's not a means to an end. It's our home. There are some things in my life that I never got there, and I was completely fine with it because I had the presence of God. There were some struggles. To this day, there's still some answers that I don't have. Maybe I'll never have those answers. I don't know why my biological father abandoned me. I don't know. Maybe I'll never have that answer, but I have the presence of God. I don't know why certain people decided to betray me and leave me. I don't know. Even when I ask them, they don't know. I don't know, but I have the presence of God. It's not a means to an end. It's our home. Moses never stepped foot into the promised land. But when you see the image of Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration, who do you see? Moses and Elijah. But in his human life, he never saw the promised land. In other words, he never got to the finish line, and it didn't matter. Because he's in the presence of God. It's not a means to an end. It's our home. So maybe there's some things you're praying about and you're asking God. You know, there's a story where Paul, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he said that he describes it as a He describes it as a thorn in his flesh. And he pleaded for the Lord to take it away from him. And the Lord did it. But what was the lesson he walked away with? He walked away understanding that his grace is sufficient for him. There's some things in your life that maybe he won't quote unquote fix. He won't fix it, but he'll fix you. Because his presence is not a means to an end. It's home. That's what I've learned from the presence of God and following it. And my desire as your pastor, I'm not the pastor of your life. Jesus is the pastor of your life. I'm just the pastor of this church. But as the pastor of your church, my continual prayer is for all of us together to figure this out and to follow the presence of God, because he is leading you somewhere. But it starts with your fellowship. It starts with your fellowship. And I just talked about not manufacturing a moment. So I'm not going to ask the worship team to come up, but I am going to ask you to stand up. You don't have to praise break on that one. Can we pray together? And when I say pray together, we're not going to pray in unison. I'm going to be inconvenient for you. All the introverts in the room, you're going to hate me. That's okay. I believe this is where the Lord is leading us today. I want you to pray out loud. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, Puerto Rican loud. Okay? It could be a whisper. And here's what's going to happen. If everyone does this, then nobody's going to hear your business. They're going to be so focused on their own prayer, okay? So that's why everybody has to do this. Everybody. But you know exactly where you need the presence of God in your life. There's some people today that you have some decisions. There's some things you're discerning right now. Some people you're discerning on taking that job or not. You're discerning if you have to have that conversation with that family member on Thursday. For some of you, you're discerning on whether or not you have to confess something you've done wrong to a loved one. For some of you, you're discerning on whether or not you need to stay in this relationship. For some of you, you're discerning if this is going to be your church or not. And just to let you know, like, I want you to go where you're going to grow. I want you to follow the presence of God. So you know exactly where you need the presence of God. So I want you to pray that out loud. I want you to pray things like, Father, I need your help with this. I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to stay. I don't know where to go. I don't know if the money's worth it. I don't know if that transition is going to help me out. I don't know. I don't know. And just surrender that to the Lord and follow the presence of God. So can we do that together, church? It's going to be inconvenient. I get it. But I think it's something powerful that when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord. And that just isn't just applied to salvation. I believe that all of us, you're created in the image of God. And God, you know what he did? He spoke his world into existence. And I believe that you could speak the guidance and discernment that you need in your life right now into existence by praying to the Father. So here we go, ready? On the count of three. If everybody does it, it's cool. If only a couple people, it's gonna be whack. All right, on the count of three, just start praying. Your own language, it doesn't have to be thee and thou. Jesus knows the Bible. You don't have to quote Bible verses to him. Just talk in your own language, tell him what you need in regards to the presence in your life, okay? Ready? Here we go, one, two, three. Come on, let's pray to God, thank you.